This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
Italian authorities in Sicily have ordered the detention of a vessel run by the Spanish NGO Proactiva Open Arms.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome. Full details on the story coming up.
Also, UNESCO says governments need to rely on water management to ensure a healthy planet. And the World Health Organization reports a major breakthrough in efforts to contain South Africa's longest and largest listeria outbreak.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, a new UN study says governments need to rely more on green water management to ensure a healthy planet and meet the needs of a fast-growing global population. That's one of the messages in the study by the UN Cultural and Scientific Organization, UNESCO. Launched at a World Water Conference in Brazil today, the study considers the many benefits of natural water infrastructure like wetlands, urban gardens, and sustainable farming practices. Lisa Bryant reports.
Population growth, changing consumption patterns, and development are taking their toll on the world's water supplies. Water demand is increasing by about 1% a year, even as climate change, pollution, and erosion threaten its quality and availability. But until now, most countries have relied on traditional man-made water management systems, such as reservoirs, irrigation canals, and water treatment plants. A new UNESCO report finds that very little investment has gone into greener water management options, despite their many benefits.
Green solutions can meet several water management objectives at the same time, improving water quality, but also reducing floods or droughts, improving access to water. So there's multiple benefits outside the water sector.
Stefan Uhlenbroek is coordinator of UNESCO's World Water Assessment Program, which authored the study.
Green solutions can help to store carbon, create jobs, particularly in rural environments. They can also increase the biodiversity, which is also very essential.
The goal, UNESCO says, is not to scrap traditional water management options like dikes, but instead to strike the right balance between man-made systems and those relying more on Mother Nature. Some places are starting to do that. New York City saves hundreds of millions of dollars yearly in water treatment and maintenance by protecting vast natural watersheds. China plans to build pilot initiatives that recycle rainwater for urban consumption. Some communities are building artificial wetlands to fight flooding and pollution. Others, like the Indian state of Rajasthan, have adopted more sustainable soil and water management practices that boost harvests and fight drought, growing challenges in the future.
We have to grow some 50% more food in the next 30 to 40 years. So to do that, we have to think of how can we do that without cutting more forests, cutting more trees, and trying to develop more land, which is hardly possible in many places around the world.
Experts say greener water management can help to increase agricultural production by 20%, which may prove key in feeding a global population expected to reach nearly 10 billion by 2050. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
The World Health Organization reports a major breakthrough in efforts to contain South Africa's longest and largest listeria outbreak. Lisa Schlein has more from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The current outbreak of listeriosis in South Africa began more than 1 year ago in January 2017. As of March 12th, the World Health Organization has recorded 978 lab-confirmed cases of this foodborne disease, including 183 deaths. WHO food safety expert Peter Ben-Mbarek says it is very difficult to investigate outbreaks of listeriosis because the disease has a very long incubation period. He says it can take several weeks before people show any symptoms, get sick, and are hospitalized.
2 weeks ago, food was identified as the primary source of this large outbreak. It's a meat, ready-to-eat meat product, the type of sausage very commonly consumed in South Africa and in the region, bologna product. Since then, recall of the incriminated products have been initiated, both in South Africa but also in 15 countries that have imported these products from South Africa.
And Barak says WHO is facilitating the exchange of information between South Africa and countries who have imported this contaminated product. He says it is important to recall the sausage and remove it from the shelves to prevent further cases from occurring. Now that the source of this foodborne disease has been identified, he tells VOA he expects the number of new cases to quickly drop.
With regard to the case fatality rate in this outbreak, among the cases where they have been able to follow them and see the outcome of their disease, it's about 27%. And it's within the norms. Listeriosis outbreak have a case fatality rate of between 20 to 30%. It's a very severe foodborne disease.
And Barak says listeriosis can be effectively treated with antibiotics if caught promptly, particularly in the case of high-risk populations such as newborn babies, pregnant women, and the elderly. He says WHO is not recommending any restrictions on travel or trade. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The Zimbabwe government under Emmerson Mnangagwa has put economic revival high on the agenda. Chief on the to-do list has been repatriating funds that were sent overseas while the country was under longtime ruler Robert Mugabe. The new administration has moved a notch up in its efforts to get the money returned. Reporter Kudzai Zvinovashi has details.
After taking office last year, President Emmerson Mnangagwa announced a grace period for people to return their overseas money to Zimbabwe, no questions asked. He pledged to name and shame those who had not returned their money. On Monday, government did just that, releasing a list of about 1,500 companies and individuals who had not returned nearly $900 million from overseas. Alexander Rusero is a political analyst, and he welcomes the move.
It's an indicator of a government that is trying to woo investors in a serious and genuine way, and knowing that particularly for you to woo investors, you also have to play your part. So I think Mnangagwa is playing his part, and he has played it well because he gave deadlines and he has decided to live by those deadlines.
Rusero says, while issuing the list may create enemies, now is not the time to shelter a few people at the cost of ordinary Zimbabweans. The list includes scores of companies in the critical mining, agriculture, manufacturing, freight transport, and tourism industries. Much of the money, the government says, went to banks in China. Wisdom Mumera is a writer who is critical of government policies. He welcomes the publication of the list, but wonders what the future holds for the people who moved their funds.
Their ability to stick to the deadline is a commendable move, as is the actual initiative to review those names. But I think that's actually a side issue to the whole matter of corruption. I think the issue there now is solely about bringing those who are corrupt to book.
Earlier this month, Mnangagwa said he would ask the National Prosecuting Authority to follow up on cases where money wasn't retained. The government says almost $600 million has been retained. Some economists say returning money into Zimbabwean banks could ease the national cash shortage, which has gone on for years. They say improving the liquidity problem will help restore investor confidence. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zvinovashi from Harare.
Italian authorities have seized a migrant rescue ship run by the Spanish charity Proactiva Open Arms. The Italian Coast Guard says the ship picked up migrants from unsafe rubber boats in international waters 73 miles off of Libya's coast on Thursday. The aid group says the boat was detained on charges that its crew helped illegal immigration by rescuing more than 200 people before Libya's Coast Guard could move in to take them back to Africa. The case highlights an increasingly highly charged standoff between humanitarian groups seeking to save lives on the open seas and European authorities trying to stem the number of people making the dangerous crossing. Reporter Josephine McKenna provides us with the latest details.
Italian authorities in Sicily have ordered the detention of a vessel run by the Spanish NGO Proactiva Open Arms. Now, this organization has been accused of promoting illegal immigration and criminal association. This is quite an unusual move, and the order came after the vessel had rescued 218 migrants off the coast of Libya. Now, it seems that the ship had some conflict with the Libyan Coast Guard during this rescue mission. The Libyan Coast Guard reportedly wanted to take the migrants back to Libya. Instead, they were rescued by this organization and taken to Sicily.
Would you say this was an unusual development?
This is an incredible development, really. When you think about how far it's changed in terms of rescues on the Mediterranean, this is one of the few, if not the only, organization from Spain that is rescuing migrants in the Mediterranean. We've seen the Italian government and the EU push back on migrant rescues. The Italians have trained the Libyan Coast Guard to rescue migrants and return them to Libya. And this is a new development, a hard line from the Italian authorities. The public prosecutor in the city of Catania accused the organization of seeking to bring migrants to Italy. And you would think that this was a humanitarian gesture, not a violation of international law. Now, this is turning into a diplomatic incident. The European Union is looking into it and has called for the respect of human rights and the respect of the code of conduct for NGOs. And the Spanish foreign minister is also seeking clarification on the Italian action. So this is quite a serious development, especially when you think, well, just last week, Proactiva Open Arms brought 93 people to Italy, including an Eritrean that immediately died of complications caused by malnutrition after spending several months in Libya.
So what is the reaction from the organization?
Well, the founder of Proactiva Open Arms has defended the organization's actions, saying that the organization is committed to protecting human life and that should be on the top of the agenda. Returning migrants to the Libyan Coast Guard, he said, would be the equivalent of deportation and a contravention of the UN Convention on the Status of Refugees. So some very strong words here on an issue that is certain to generate more international attention, particularly when we've seen this clampdown from the Italian authorities and the EU in recent months, pushing back migrants. We've seen 12,000 migrants arrive in the Mediterranean on European soil this year, around 6,000 in Italy, and that's a dramatic fall in what was taking place last year.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiyahu Suhaib, 18 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. UNESCO says governments need to rely on water management to ensure a healthy planet. The World Health Organization reports a major breakthrough efforts to contain South Africa's longest and largest listeria outbreak. And the Zimbabwe government under Emmerson Mnangagwa has put economic revival high on its agenda. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
The UN Refugee Agency reports thousands of Central African refugees who fled to southern Chad late last year to escape escalating violence are short of food, shelter, medical care, and other essential relief. Lisa Schlein reports from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
The UN Refugee Agency reports fighting between armed groups in Northwest Central African Republic last December displaced some 65,000 people and prompted more than 22,000 others to flee to Chad in search of refuge. The agency finds this big refugee influx is adding an enormous burden on an area already hosting nearly 90,000 refugees and Chadian returnees from CAR. Southern Chad is considered one of Chad's poorest and most underdeveloped regions. UNHCR spokesman Babar Balosh says food shortages and rising prices are putting the lives of the refugees in host communities at risk.
Since last December, more than 15 Central African refugees have been killed on both sides of the border, and at least 67 have been subjected to sexual and gender-based violence while trying to go back to CAR to gather food and complement their scarce resources in exile.
UNHCR and partners have been providing protection, health care, water and sanitation, shelter, food and other basic relief to newly arriving refugees. But Balash tells VOA this is no longer possible because the money has run out.
Our worry is the funding. With no resources in our hand, it's really difficult to support refugees where humanitarian needs are so immense. Many refugees are living among the local villages. Many of the host communities are hosting them, but resources are needed to support both refugees as well as the host communities.
Baller says UNHCR has received only 2% of the $149 million it urgently needs for this year's operation in Chad. He says severe flooding has badly affected this season's harvest, and food reserves are nearly exhausted. As a consequence, he says, many refugees and local residents are eating leaves and wild fruit, which often are toxic. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Burundi says it will hold a referendum May 17th on extending the presidential term of office, which could keep Pierre Nkurunziza in office until 2034. Nkurunziza signed a decree yesterday stating the date. There are concerns about a repeat of the violence that followed his re-election to a third term in 2015. At least 1,200 people died in that violence, while an estimated 400,000 fled the country. The 54-year-old Nkurunziza has been in power since 2005. The president is supposed to serve only 2 5-year terms. He argued he was eligible to run in 2015 because legislators, not voters, selected him for office the first time. The referendum's measure would raise presidential terms to 7 years and would reset the clock for Nkurunziza because his previous terms would not count. Critics say he is building a personality cult to stay in power for life. The ruling CNDD-FDD party recently gave him the title of party visionary.
The UN Commission of Inquiry on Syria condemns the rampant sexual and gender-based violence used by Syria's warring parties to instill fear in the civil population and to humiliate and shame their victims into violence. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva on the Commission's first comprehensive look at this practice since the Syrian war began in 2011.
The UN investigators find sexual and gender-based violence is pervasive throughout Syrian society. No one is spared. They say countless thousands of women and girls, of men and boys, have been and continue to be subjected to the most degrading, punishing forms of sexual violence by government forces, armed militia, and terrorist groups. Chair of the commission, Paulo Pinheiro, calls these brutal acts utterly repugnant. While Syrians from all backgrounds, including men and boys, are affected, he says women and girls are disproportionately victimized on multiple grounds.
For 7 years, the victims of this brutal conflict repeatedly underscore the overriding importance of accountability for all crimes and violations committed. Yet, it is particularly repulsive that SGBV violations by warring parties including government forces and affiliated militias, anti-government armed groups, and terrorist organizations and their affiliates continue to go unpunished.
The report is based on searing testimony from 454 survivors, relatives of survivors, and members of affected communities about events which have occurred between March 2011, when the uprising began, and the end of 2017. The report finds many of the rapes and other acts of sexual violence, the widespread and systematic attacks against civilian populations, the torture and outrages committed to shame and subjugate the victims could amount to crimes against humanity and, in some cases, to war crimes. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A prehistoric tooth from one of the largest sharks ever known has gone missing from a secret location in a remote World Heritage area in Western Australia. Police are investigating the theft of the rare megalodon tooth discovered in the Cape Range National Park. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The location of the rare tooth in Western Australia was thought to have been highly secret. The well-preserved fossil was stolen from the spot where it was discovered, just as wildlife rangers were looking to protect it from theft with a bulletproof glass cover or a wire cage. The disappearance of the megalodon tooth, which could be worth thousands of dollars to collectors, is now being investigated by police in Western Australia. Investigators believe the fossil could have been taken by an amateur collector or by someone who wants to sell it on the black market. It's just one of a small number of megalodon specimens in the Ningaloo Coast World Heritage Area of Western Australia. Arvid Hogstrom from Parks and Wildlife in Western Australia says the tooth's whereabouts remain a mystery.
The sharks have known to be extinct for about 1.6 million years, so it's at least sort of that old. It's been floating around on the seafloor for quite some time and been pushed up in the ranges and sitting there undisturbed for however long, and someone's come along with a bit of a chisel and taken it away. We're not sure where it's gone.
The ancient shark grew to more than 15 metres long and weighed around 20 tonnes, roughly three times as heavy as a Tyrannosaurus rex. Researchers believe this ancient beast of the sea preyed on prehistoric turtles and whales, which it would kill with jaws so strong they could crush a car. The reason for the shark's extinction is unknown, but experts have speculated that Megalodon was unable to adapt as the temperature of the Earth's oceans fell. Wildlife authorities in Western Australia have circulated a picture of the missing tooth on social media as they intensify their efforts to recover the fossil, which is a priceless link to the region's ancient past. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.